On November the 4th is election in Williamson County. No offices are being determined at this point, but there are propositions that are out there. People will vote in connection with those propositions first of all, how it will affect them. Contractors will want programs to go through that might reimburse them or give them some money. And they'll weigh their taxes in connection with that to see, is it going to benefit me more to vote for this or against? Not naming any names, by the way. Those that don't have any appreciation for education whatsoever, whenever those propositions come up, will vote no every time. There are those that just vote straight party line, whenever there are offices that are being considered. That will take place in the midterms, March the 3rd, in our area, starting at that point. There'll be those that will vote based upon how the people running look. It's a popularity contest, not about the substance of their platforms. I want to talk to you about the election season that is current right now, and I'm not talking about the propositions that are on the ballot for Williamson County. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the election season concerning who will go to heaven. And I'll tell you that in a sense, and I'm going to be using this metaphorically, and I'll comment on that at the end of the lesson, because I want to try to get the point across. If there are elections, there's voting, so in a sense, that take place day in and day out in our life, concerning whether or not one will be found in heaven. And we have to consider this, first of all, that God votes for us. God is always on our side. He has our best interest in mind. Before the foundation of the world, he had already devised the plan of redemption for man. And that plan of redemption was not for that which was negative, but that which was for redemption unto eternity with him. And that God does not do anything in the negative for us, but always in the positive for us. He is the giver of all that is good. And he always votes for us. He is on our side and is always voting for us so that we can have a home with heaven with him. Think about this. Even going back under the Mosaic Law, when we look over in Deuteronomy 30, verses 14 through 19. But the word is very near you in your mouth and in your heart that you do it. See, God says, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgment, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over Jordan to go in and possess. I call, God says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day. Therefore, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Even going back under the Mosaic Law, the law was given, and we understand that the Mosaic Law could not result, the keeping of it could not result, and neither was the purpose of it, resulting unto eternal life, salvation. And what it did, that Mosaic Law, was to keep these people, the Jews, at that time in a covenant relationship with God until the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, by which would come salvation through his shed blood. And we see this, even though there are negatives that are mentioned here in this particular passage in Deuteronomy 30. We see really the plea that is made by God to these people at this time: choose life. Don't choose death. Don't choose judgment upon yourself. Choose life. Choose that which comes from me. Choose that which keeps you in a covenant relationship and fellowship with me. God was voting for them even under the Mosaic Law. We look at 1 Timothy 2 verses 4 through 6, and this is our application today, of course. And there it says, concerning Jesus in this particular context, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We see this vote by God that it is for us. He desires all to come to the knowledge of the truth, to enter into that fellowship with him, to have a part in that plan of redemption that was offered through the shed blood of Christ Jesus. We see that. And we see it when we look in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 4. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and the Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. He has voted for us. He is on our side. He has cast his vote, so to speak, metaphorically. He has cast his vote for us. He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. We understand that from 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. We think about it. I don't know. There's a great significance in the weight of this vote by God that demands obedience, but yet so loving and so kind that he wants all to come to him. And so in that sense, he votes that we have a home in heaven. That's his vote. But we also see that there's another vote that takes place, and that's the devil. And the vote of the devil is always in opposition to that which is from God. He always votes against us. And there's a reason for that, as we see in John 8, verse 44. Jesus talking to the Jews of his day while he was here upon this earth concerning their attitude and the influence that they were following. He says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. Speaking of Satan. He wasn't there for the best interest. When we go back and we look in the garden in Genesis, the third chapter, beginning in verse 1, he wasn't there for the best interest of man. He was there to do his best to turn people away, even at that time, at the very beginning, Adam and Eve, away from God. And that close friendship that they had with God, and that closeness that they had in looking unto him. He goes on and says, and does not stand in the truth. He doesn't stand in the truth. And because of that, there is no truth in him. As a matter of fact, he is the father of liars. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, his own determinations, his own reason for existence. For he is the liar and the father of it. Lies do nothing but harm. They do nothing but harm, but there is absolutely no lies with God, but there is nothing but lies. There is nothing but spiritual death and murder that comes from Satan. And his interest is not the best for us, but rather it is that which is unto separation from God. Think about that when we look on 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that word there is where we get our word Satan from, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It's not for life, but his existence is for death, and he always votes against us. We see again when we look in 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, those that follow after the influence of Satan and the desires of Satan to do harm and not good, and that desire always against those that would be children of God. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, a messenger of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Those that follow after that influence that we read of in John 8, chapter verse 44, death, murder, lies, the father of it, and so forth, they follow after that for their own benefit in many cases. Sometimes from ignorance, but many times for their own benefit. And we see that as expressed here in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14 and 15. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. We understand that the devil has his wiles. He has his deceptions. We're not ignorant, Paul says, of his devices. We know what his purpose is. But we also see that there's another vote that takes place. And that is, God votes for us, the devil votes against us, but we have the deciding vote. And in this metaphorical sense, there are three votes that are cast, and the majority wins. And it's a determination there of ourselves in connection of what we vote for in this life. And I'll just explain it right now. Don't anyone say, the preacher said that there's this great polling place in heaven and God goes to it every day and he casts a vote for you and the devil comes in behind him and the devil casts a vote against you and somehow we appear and that we then cast a vote also and then it's all determined. Preacher didn't say that. This is from a metaphorical aspect that I'm speaking. But I believe from the aspect metaphorically that is great truth. We get to cast that deciding vote. When we think about this over in Colossians 1, verses 19 through 23, Paul says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell," that is Christ. "In him all the fullness of God would dwell in him. And that fullness includes, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." The things there that are mentioned. Not talking about trees. He's not talking about grass. He's talking about people. He's talking about people. And he's saying that through Christ Jesus, there is this reconciliation that we can have. And you, he says, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. And I want you to notice this because many times people look at this particular passage of Scripture, especially starting in verse 22, and think about the end of time. But it says, now he has reconciled. Now when? While we are alive here upon this earth, while we are living, it comes down to the individual. And he says in connection with that, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. And this is the way that God views those that will vote for eternal life in the way that they conduct themselves. And it is by the grace of God and by the mercy of God that he looks upon us in that way. Holy, set apart from the world, called out from the world, blameless in that we conduct ourselves in accordance with God's word, and above reproach in his sight because God looks upon the Christian and sees the blood of Christ upon them. Just as under the Mosaic law, when the priest went in to do sacrifice, it was a bloody affair. And then when we look at that type of the anti-type today, we see then that Christians are to have that blood upon them, and it is by that blood upon them that God says, they have voted to follow me. They've determined to follow me. But then he also says in connection with this in verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, there is the vote that is cast by Christians day in and day out. We can either say, I want to do the Lord's will. I appreciate his love so much that I want to do his will and I want to be near him through the word. I want to have that relationship with him. And so I'm going to continue then in the faith that he gave to us through his word. He says, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. That's a Christian voting for eternal life, rather than voting for what satisfies us in this life, in this worldly existence. He said, I'm going to look past what takes place here upon this earth, and I'm going to look unto what it is that God has prepared for me, which is in heaven. And I'm going to determine, make that determination by choice to do his will, to follow him. When we think about Colossians 3, verse 12 through 15, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And there the elect of God are those that have made determination to cast their vote to serve God, to live for him. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. We have the ballot that's been given to us to cast this vote. It's God's word. That ballot is right there. We can make choice. I'm going to do this and do the Lord's will because of the love that he's shown forth to me, or I'm not going to do that. I'm going to reject it. It's the ballot that we have before us in connection with the elect of God. The elect of God are those that vote, again in that metaphorical sense, to do the Lord's will because they see the love that's been sent forth from him. When we think about man always has and always had free choice. That's something that is inherent within man. That is the one right of man that has been given by God to all. That is free choice. It was so in the patriarchal dispensation. You think back to Cain before he kills Abel. Cain's upset because his sacrifice to God was rejected by God because it was not the prescribed sacrifice that God had given to both Cain and Abel to offer. And it made him mad. And it says there, Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." And that attitude of being a victim, God totally took away. He totally took that away whenever he made this statement to Cain here. Don't be mad at anyone else. Be upset with yourself and then make correction in consideration of that. Make choice to do my will. You need to rule over sin that would have you, and the sin is transgression of God's will, his law. You can overcome it. God's telling me that. I'm voting for you, Cain. Cain voted against himself on this occasion. We see it also in the Mosaic period of time. Joshua 24 and verse 15. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, me and my house, we've cast the vote. We're not going to follow after the gods that our fathers had followed after. And you see and understand as he wrote this and made the statement to the people at this time, don't you recognize that those that voted against themselves and not choosing God are not here with us on the other side of the Jordan? But they fell by the wayside. Matter of fact, at the last encampment before entering into Israel, at Shittim, they fell because they worshiped other gods. Don't you recognize it? Vote for yourself. God, through Joshua, was making that plea at that time. Vote for yourself to do the Lord's will. Vote for fellowship with him. And then today for us. Luke 10, chapter verse 42. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. Choose that which does not disappear with the ages of time. But it is that which is eternal in the heavens that comes forth from him, and that is God's word to us and his will for us and the sacrifice that he made for us so that we can choose and vote for ourselves, cast that deciding vote to serve God. We then are to practice from the choice made. And hopefully the one that is made in connection with our salvation. 1 John 3, verse 8 through 10, he who sins is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. When you take verse 8 there to begin with, you have the vote to take place. God votes for you, Satan votes against you. Then he says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. There you have the deciding vote that is cast, our choice. John is not saying that's impossible for Christians to sin. He's saying when we do the Lord's will in the Lord's way, it's impossible then to transgress God's will. We partook of the Lord's Supper just a few moments ago. If you did it because you wanted to have a ceremony, you didn't do it in accordance with God's will. If you did it as a memorial, that which reminded you of what Christ has done for you, then you did that in accordance with God's will. And so doing, you can't sin in that. When we do the Lord's will and the Lord's way, you can't sin. It's whenever our own thoughts and our own ideas enter in that we cast a vote against ourselves rather than being with God. And he goes on and he says, and he, because he has been born of God, in this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. It's a vote against ourselves. It's saying, I don't want to be in heaven with the Lord, but we can be in heaven with him if we do the Lord's will in the Lord's way, because it is by choice. And so I ask this morning, let us make sure our vote counts for heaven. And our vote is cast daily in this metaphorical sense. 2 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we look over in Romans 13, 11 through 14, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And that is true. Whether speaking of the end of time or was talking about our life. As Christians, when we first believed, we first became children of God. However many years ago, weeks ago, days ago, hours ago, minutes ago, our salvation is nearer. And we don't know what that time is. And so when we think about this, we have a choice to make. We can either vote with God, who votes for us, and say, I see the benefit, the spiritual benefit. I want to be with my Lord when this life is over. I take that which he has given me, and that is that free choice, and I see the love and the substance of truth in what he says through his word. I vote for that. I see the degradation of what takes place here upon this earth. I see the things that take place where people are defrauded here upon this earth. And I vote for the one that is always for me, the God of heaven. And I see that this life is temporal and is full of trial and tribulation and persecution. And I vote for where righteousness dwells in heaven. And so we cast the deciding vote. God votes for us. Satan votes against us. And we get the final vote, the deciding vote. How do you vote this morning? If you're not a child of God, would you vote? And again, this is metaphorical. Don't you say the preacher said there's this polling place in heaven. Don't you do that. Understand it from the metaphorical sense. That your determination is to do the Lord's will. His determination is to save you. That's what he wants. Will you do his will? If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.